that you have Christ in your life, that you be saved. That not that you be you're saved, but that you be Bible saved. Not that you're saved to satisfy you, but you're saved to satisfy God. That you've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, and God has accepted that, and He's satisfied with you trusting Jesus Christ. That's what's necessary this morning. To me, people want to go their own way. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you don't go your way, if you're going your way, it's going to be to hell. And you need Christ, and that's just simple. That's just simple. So we trust that today you will get saved if you're not saved. All right? Now, Kim, you keep up with me. Don't just let us sit there. I'm going to be moving back and forth, so you work at things so they can see what's happening. All right? All right, you're on the movie crew this morning. All right? All right, John chapter 10. Everybody all right? Let's pray. God, we need you. You're our Father, I'm your child, and Lord, I'm helpless. Lord, I need you. As you pity me as your child, remember that I'm but dust, and I can do nothing unless you breathe in me life, unless you use me of the Holy Spirit this morning, it'll be nothing. Lord, I pray that the words that said will be your words, that the words that is heard, that it is your words. Lord, I pray that you might give me power to preach, but Lord, I pray you might give us power to listen. And then, Lord, I pray that you might empower us to obey. Lord, the hearing is not the issue, but Lord, obeying is always an issue. Lord, I pray this morning that you will help us and strengthen us, give us the courage to obey your word today. Lord, thank you for all that you do. You're wonderful. You're great. Lord, I'm filthy. I'm a wretch. Cleanse me, I pray. And Lord, may I be pleasing to you this morning. In Jesus' name, and amen. John chapter 10 is where we'll be. John chapter 10. We're going to use a PowerPoint this morning. Now, you bear with me. I had a message all lined out until this morning, about 7 o'clock, and God changed my mind. I've been rushed putting a PowerPoint together. I hadn't planned on a PowerPoint message this morning, so you pray for me, all right? And we're going to do our best to mind the Lord. Everybody all right? Our theme this year is coming fully alive in 2025. Now, the reason that I personally like a theme, and I feel like the Lord wants us to have a theme, is that we got to have something to focus on, because we're all, what do you call that when you don't pay attention? We all have attention deficit disorder. All of us, every one of us have attention deficit, and that's just plainly we don't pay attention. That's what it means. And then the medicine that we have, ain't no medicine going to help us to pay attention to the Lord unless we just go ahead and decide to do it. All right, it ain't a disease. It's just called duelessness. All right, laziness is not a disease. It is catching, but it ain't a disease. Let me say that again. Laziness is not a disease. It is catching. But it's not a disease. Because if you're beside someone that's doulous, you'll eventually become doulous. If you're beside someone that don't listen, you'll eventually become one that don't listen. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen. But we got to start. Now, the theme this year is because it's coming fully alive in 2025. Amen. All right. And it's going to have to be some lively preaching and some lively listening. Amen. And some lively obeying. All right, and it's just going to have to be. Now, you say, well, what if I don't want to do it? Then you're going to face the chastening hand of God. Because I'm praying that if we don't obey, that God chastens us to where everyone knows. That everyone knows we're being chastened of God because of disobedience. So, get ready. 2025 might be my last year. All right? Might be your last year. Might be my last service. All right? So let's see where we're at here. John 10:10. That's where we're at. John 10:10. That'll be our verse for this morning anyway. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief, speaking of the devil, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But we'll stop there and let you understand that that's all the devil is for you, is somebody that's going to come in and steal and destroy and hurt and kill you and do everything against you. So anything that is negative to the Word of God or against the Word of God is from the enemy, is from the thief this morning. At any time in your life when you don't want to disobey, it's because the enemy is there speaking in your mind to not obey. At any time you don't obey, it's when you get in the car with the enemy and are riding along with him driving. At any time we don't obey the Word of God, that's what's going on, because that's what the thief does. He comes in to steal and to kill and destroy, and you're either serving God or you're serving Satan. You can't run the middle ground. You're serving one or the other. You're either obeying God or you're obeying Satan. You're either living righteously or you're living unrighteously. You're either living godly or you're living ungodly. It can't be both ways. It's one or the other at one at a time.
Amen.
All right?
Yeah.
Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
And that's just simplicity. And then it goes on and says in that verse, Jesus is speaking here, says, I am come. Now the thief cometh, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, but I am come that they may have life.
Amen.
That they might have life.
Yeah.
Well, that's life. That's live, right?
Yeah.
Right? But he don't stop there.
That's right.
He says, and that they might have it more abundantly. That's fully alive. How about that? See, it's not coming alive in 2025. It's coming fully alive in 25. He didn't come just to give us life. He came to give us life and more, and life more abundantly. Everybody understand that? Now let's go with it. Everybody all right? First, you must truly be saved. Why? Because you're dead in sin. You're not alive, but you're dead in sin. All right, understand that. You first must truly be saved. Your natural life starts at conception and then comes with birth, and here you are. You're proof of it. You are proof that you've been born.
Amen.
You are proof that you've been. You wasn't found under a rock, might act like it. But you prove you've been born. Everybody understand that? What I see is proof that you've been born.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I hear others, but when I meet them, then I see that they're born. Everybody still with me? Your natural birth shows that you've been born.
Yeah, that's right.
But you're dead, even though you've been born. You're dead. And your new life will start when you are born again. You need to be born again. Can I tell you this morning that when I see you, I should be able to tell that you're born again. Because when I see you, I know that you've been born the first time. I ought to be able to tell you've been born the second time. Huh? That would just be common sense, wouldn't it? Huh? See, when I see that you've been born, I see that there's life. And I want you to know, you don't look like you're dead. Nobody looks like a dead person. We've all been around dead people. I've been with them when they passed. I've carried them. I've helped. I've done all kinds of different things. I've been to hundreds and hundreds of funerals, and they ain't nobody looks good dead.
Right, right. That's true.
Now, I've heard people say, "Well, they look a lot better, don't they?" They're dead. They can't look better. All right? Everybody understand that? Are we on the same page for a moment? All right. Can I tell you, when you're alive, you look different. When you're fully alive, you look really different. When you're alive, you know, we say, well, you got a little color.
Right.
Now, I don't care how pale you are. When you die, you're paler than what you were.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But if you're fully alive, there'll be a little color in your cheeks.
Yeah.
Huh? Are we okay?
Yes.
Everybody still following me? But you need to be born again. Now let me ask you, and you say, well, you ought to be able to see. Do not ask me if you look saved.
Yeah.
Well, some are going to get yes and some are going to get no. Don't ask me to tell you to answer and say, do you act saved? Because the answer again will be some yes and some no. Right? So you don't want me to judge it. All right? Okay? Are we still okay? All right. So you need to judge. The Bible says, let a man examine himself to see whether or not he be in the faith. You need to examine yourself. And you, how about you just convincing me that you've been saved? Could you convince me that you've been born again? Have you met Christ and can tell me about when you met Christ and he made the difference in your life? That you are not what you used to be? That you was once lost and now you know you're found? That you're not the same man or woman, boy or girl that you was? That there has been a change take place in your life? Can you convince me of that?
Yes.
Huh? If you can't, you might need saved. Okay? The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." He only makes alive those who were dead. Dead in trespasses and sin. All right, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Everybody in here at some time or another has been exactly the same. We've all had our mind and our lust and all these things that's run our life. But when we get saved, then we're changed. We're made alive. And then we are not never the same.
That's right.
Okay? But at one time, we was all exactly the same. Dead in trespasses and sin. Now, as we grow in the Lord, there's different levels. There's some just grow more than others. Some grow up. Some grow out. Some grow in. You know? We all know what it is to grow up. Right? And most of us anymore know what it's like to grow out. But then there's some of us that grow in that we become introverts. Huh? We become introverts as Christians. When all of us ought to be an extrovert, not an introvert. An introvert means that you suck yourself inside, don't share nothing with nobody, don't talk to nobody, bashful, all that. An extrovert is you're outgoing. And you say, well, I'm not that way, but you're a new creature.
Right. That's right.
See? You're a new creature. And what's in has to come out.
Right.
Huh? Are we okay?
Maybe.
We still okay?
Yeah.
Roger, I'm glad you're here this morning. You're sticking right with me. All right? We okay? Now, let's look on. John 3:7 says, "Marvel not that I said to you, ye must be born again." Everything's got to start here. Now, may I ask you, are you born again? Have you truly been born again? Have you been born again? Have you been born again? Have you been born again? Okay, wonderful. Now, let's go back. John 10:10. "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come," this is Jesus speaking, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Coming up more fully alive in 2025. Abundantly, it means simply this: in large quantities, plentifully, extremely, exuberantly. That's what abundantly means. Huh? He's given me life. No, he's given me life that it's such a large quality. It's a large quantity. It's eternal. Huh? How about that? It's plentiful. Huh? He gave me enough life to go all the way.
Yeah.
Huh? How about that? Extreme. He gave me an extreme life. I'm supposed to be an extreme Christian.
Right.
You know, fanatic, you know.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be a fanatic. We've all been told, you know, you shouldn't be a fanatic. Well, why not?
Right.
Yeah. Why not? Is there anybody here, humor me this morning, is there anybody here that's ever wore a logo of a football team as a shirt while you were not playing? Have you ever wore a jacket with West Virginia on it? Or Tennessee? Huh? Have you ever wore a hat with Remington or Bowtech or Matthews or a deer or anything like that? Have you ever worn anything like that? You're a fanatic. If you wear the clothing, you're a fanatic. If you wear a jersey in your home on game day, you're a nut, but you're a fanatic. You go to a ball game and you wear your West Virginia shirt. Remember when we all went to the West Virginia game and we all wore West Virginia shirt? Cheryl said, "You got to get you a shirt." I said, "I'm not wearing one of them fancy shirts like that." Finally, she found me a colored shirt. Not a color, but got a color on it. And had a little WV on. I said, "Okay, I'll go that far." But I could care less. I was going for the Italian meal afterwards.
Yeah.
All right? But you know what they were? Y'all was a bunch of fanatics. But ain't nobody wants to be a fanatic for Jesus. We got to strip you down to find out whether or not you're saved.
Come on, preacher.
Because it sure ain't on the outside.
Yeah.
Huh? Ain't nobody an extreme Christian anymore. We're passive. Yeah. Huh? Let me tell you how the church has become so mixed up that they'll have Super Bowl Sunday at church and show a ball game at church. I believe that's the next thing to hell. This is what I tell you. I ain't got nothing against the Super Bowl, but showing it at church instead of having church, I think it's the very next step to hell. Just so you'll know where I stand in case anybody ever asks. Okay? All right? Everybody understand that? We need to be extreme Christians. Are you an extreme Christian? Or are you one of them secret disciples? Like Joseph Arimathea, who come and begged the body of Jesus in secret because of fear of the Jew. Huh? How about that? We still okay? Exuberantly. And I do good to say it, let alone tell you what all it means. Huh? But can I tell you, it's not passive. To be exuberant is to be joyful. Huh? You know? That's why I'm to be joyful and happy and all that. And I'm afraid that the abundant life he's given, we're missing out on that abundant life. We got the life down. But we're missing out on that abundant life. We still okay? How about alive? Just the word alive. Read what this says. It says, refers to the state or condition of an organism, that would be us. Object or system, that would be us. That exhibits signs of life, such as respiration, growth, movement, responsiveness to stimuli, and the ability to self-replicate or reproduce. Now read that. I want you to keep reading. All right, don't look at me right now. Look at that. I want you to look. Are you alive?
Yes.
Fully alive?
Yes.
We're going to see. Because it says it refers to the state or condition that's what we are presently. Of an organism, object, or system that exhibits or shows or displays. You know what? That's an exhibit, you know. You go to an exhibit, you're there to show, to not necessarily perform, but to show or demonstrate.
Right.
All right, that you're alive. exhibit signs of life such as respiration. That's interesting. Growth. Movement. Responsiveness to stimuli. I really like that one. And the ability. Now listen, if you're alive, that means you have the, you're supposed to have the ability to self-replicate or reproduce. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to separate each one of them and preach them in. All right? Five things that show full life. There it is. Respiration, growth, movement, responsiveness to stimuli, and ability to self-replicate or produce. Respiration. That's breathing, ain't it?
Yep.
That they should, Acts 17:27-20, that they should seek the Lord. We're going to have to seek the Lord. If you're going to be fully alive, you're going to have to seek the Lord.
Right.
You're going to have to seek Him, the relationship with Him, the time with Him. You're going to have to seek the Lord.
Amen.
All right? And it says, if happily they might feel after Him. Huh? And find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. We live, we breathe. That's what that's meaning. For in Him we live, we breathe Christ.
Amen.
He's our breath. He's in whom we have, that we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. We live and move. We live, we breathe. Breathe in, breathe out. They asked Charles Spurgeon, which is the most important, reading your Bible or praying? He said, which is most important, breathing in or breathing out?
Right.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Think about it. Let me say that again. Charles Spurgeon, the old time preacher, asked him, said, what is more important, reading your Bible or praying? He answered the question with a question. What is more important, breathing in or breathing out? That's how important it is. It's seeking the Lord. If happily we find Him, He's not very far away. And that to breathe, to live for Christ, to live of Christ. In other words, first priority. Number one in our life. Right now, Joy Lusher, they're not interested in His broke ribs. They're not interested in nothing but what, Trista? Breathing. His breathing. Why? Because the breathing is the key to life. That man became a living soul when? When God breathed in him. The breath of life. Breath, respiration. Hey, become like, you don't come alive without that respiration.
Amen. That's right.
All right. In fact, they don't even call it CPR now. They call it rescue breathing.
Yeah.
What I was told, what I was taught years ago, I used to be on the first aid team. You wouldn't believe that. I have so much compassion. That I was on the first aid team, and I'd take care of anybody who was injured in any way at the plant. And they taught us we had to go every year for classes, you know. And I'd go, and we'd do that CPR, and and if anybody knows this, you probably, I know Trista, some of y'all know this. If you truly do CPR correctly, you bust ribs. Am I correct or not? I mean, it's rare if you don't. If you do it correctly, you bust ribs. So when you push that little rubber dummy and that light goes on, that really don't mean much. But when the ribs snap, you'll know I'm getting through. But it's got so bad that people was really injured from CPR. Now they don't do that. They don't teach you chest compressions. They teach you rescue breathing. Because they understand if you don't get breath, you get dumber. Your brain dies. If you don't have the right respiration, you won't have the mind of Christ. How's that?
Amen. That's good.
Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And the respirations is necessary. Are we still okay? Is everybody with me this morning? Huh? Growth. How about growth? You ought to grow. Let me ask you this morning. Have you grown this past year? Have you grown in the Lord this past year? If you've not grown, why? Why are you not growing? Why are you not growing? Well, if you're alive, you're growing. See, now, when you get old, now I know this is not funny, it's the truth. When you get old, you won't get but so tall. Right? But you don't never quit growing. You know your ears don't quit growing. Do you know that? That's true. Your ears never quit growing. And you don't believe that? And I'm not being mean, but well, older people have bigger ears. But it is true. I mean, I'm not telling you, surely y'all know some of this. There's parts of you that grow constantly. Now, you'll lose all the hair on your head, but you'll gain it in your ears and your nose. See, but you know why? Because you're alive. And when you're alive, there's constantly something going on inside of you of growth. Are you following me? If you're alive, there's constantly something going on inside of you that's growing you with the Lord. Do you have goals of growth? The kids do. The kids say, I can't wait till I grow up. Kids will say, I can't wait till I get big like you, Daddy. I can't wait till I get big like you, Mommy. Right? When does our desire to grow quit? Why do we get satisfied all of a sudden that we don't want to grow no more? I've been preaching 40 years. 40 years. And I can't wait till school starts so that I can grow more. For calling. And I am already planned. I'm going to finish this class and I'm going to do it again. And then when I finish it then, I'm going to do it again because there's no way I can learn it all. You got any goals of growth? The Bible says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. Who might grow up? That we might grow up. Can I tell you, when you become alive, that's going to be the first thing you're going to do is grow up. Because there's a lot of us that need to grow up this morning and quit trying to be pampered by the Word of God and by the preacher and by the things of the church and grow up.
Amen.
Huh? How about that? How about 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2? Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. I mean, go ahead and stop right there. You're not ever going to grow and be fully alive until you get shut of that. You're going to have to get shut of the malice and the guile and the hypocrisies and the envies and all evil speaking. Not some. But all evil speaking.
Yes, sir.
You're not going to grow. Can I say, you're not only not going to grow, but you're not going to be fully alive. If you don't get shut of that first verse there. And then it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Can I tell you, you're not ever going to grow unless you get in that blessed old book.
Amen.
There'll be no growth without the Bible. You say, well, I don't understand it. I don't either. Don't understand all of it, but I understand more than I used to. Why? Because I kept reading it. I kept reading it, and I kept reading it, and I kept reading it. And I'm going to keep reading it. Huh? Are we still okay? Talking about being fully alive. How about 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18? But grow in grace. How am I going to grow? I'm going to have to grow in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Right. Growth, we're talking about growth. Are you still with me? Yeah. Everybody still with me? Yeah. All right, let's look on. How about movement? Huh? I thought I need to look the word movement up and see just what that means. In its general sense, a passing, a moving or motion forward. I thought that interesting that it don't say backwards or sideways, that when we talk about movement, it's forward. It may not be in a dead straight line, but it's forward. That they don't classify movement backwards. Now, ain't that something? That it's not classified movement going backwards. Let me say that again. It's not classified movement going backwards. We're supposed to be going forward. Huh? It says in a direct or curving line, either one. Applicable to any body or substance. Solid or fluid. A running or walking. A race. A career. A passing or passage with any degree of swiftness, how long? Huh? Ain't it amazing when you read a dictionary? Read a dictionary or encyclopedia. There's so much information in them, along with the Bible. You know, I like to sit down sometimes just read an encyclopedia. Read a dictionary. Yeah, I do that. You ever do that? Huh? There's one time I could spell dictionary. And I won a spelling bee one time by spelling encyclopedia. I can't now. Huh? We okay? Moving, motion forward. How about say Hebrews 6:1, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of a faith toward God. How about Philippians 3:13-14? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're going to have to get up and go. Huh? There's examples in the Bible. When someone was healed, he said, arise and get out of here. Rise and go. Rise and walk. Huh? Or they arose. Anyway, they got up and went. Does everybody understand me? So we're talking about being fully alive. We still okay? How about responsiveness to stimuli? Huh? I've been waiting on this one. Responsiveness to stimuli. How responsive are you? What stimulates you? Huh? Coffee? Does coffee stimulate y'all? It don't make coffee, it makes me sleepy. I can drink a pot of coffee and go to sleep drinking a cup. Used to be when I cut timber for Shane, I'd eat a good breakfast, and then for lunch I drunk a live war Mountain Dew. That was my lunch. An orange live war Mountain Dew. Huh? I wanted that was my gas. And you still drink them, Shane? Or you went to them energy drinks, I think. But for years you drunk them live war, did you? Huh? That's all we go on. Got a truckload of timber on a live war. Every bottle of live war is a truckload of timber. Huh? Right? That's right. Give me coffee, I go to sleep. Huh? What stimulates us with the Lord? Huh? What moves you? What moves you? Well, the Bible says it gives us an order of rejoicing. How about Psalms 107:22? It says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Now, if you'll just go ahead and start writing down all the things you got to be thankful for. What do you got to be thankful for this morning? Now, start writing them down. I'm serious. You go writing them down, and after you write a few of them down, then there's something going to take place. You're going to start rejoicing. You can't help it. You go thanking Him. How about we go back for a moment and thank Him for what we was, that we ain't that no more. That we go back and look that we're not what we was anymore. How about that this morning? Would that be all right? Can I get any rejoicing out of you at all? Hey, that you ain't a drunkard no more. That you ain't a dope head or a whore or a whoremonger or a liar or a cheat. Ain't you glad you ain't that anymore? Huh? Ain't you glad? You'll start rejoicing when you realize and start giving that sacrifice of thanksgiving. It says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with what? Rejoicing. Responsiveness to stimuli is rejoicing. Huh? Becoming fully alive by rejoicing. I'm happy. I ain't going to hell. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, now if I'm wrong, you'll just have to come to me and tell me I'm wrong. But if you can't brag on the Lord in here, I'm doubting you're doing it out there. If you're not shouting these praises in here, I'm doubting you're shouting them down there on the job. If you're not telling us what good God done for you this week, I'm sure you're not telling them out yonder what good He's been doing, why He's done it. You know why? You're not fully alive. You're satisfied with a pulse. But your desire ought to be a hard heartbeat. Huh? We okay? The orders of rejoicing. How about Acts 8:39? Reason to rejoice. And when they were come up, now this is speaking of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Do you still go on your way rejoicing because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and followed Him in baptism? Are you still excited? Yeah, I sure am. How many here has watched Winnie the Pooh? My most favorite character, Winnie the Pooh, is Eeyore. Hello, Pooh. Where's Piglet? That's what I'm looking at. I would to God we'd be a tigger. Huh? I'd rather bounce all over the place and not know up from down as to be a hoopoo. We okay? Are you not happy you're saved anymore? Did it wear off? Maybe you ain't. If it wore off, maybe you lost it. Did you lose it? Huh? How you know? How you know you ain't lost it? It don't affect you like it used to. I'm asking, y'all ain't saying nothing. We're talking about this responsiveness to stimuli. Does the nostril thrill you? You ain't going to hell.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Listen. I don't care if Jerry Rush stands up right now and sing "Nobody Ever Loved Me." He's amazed that he got loved like the Lord loved me. I'm going to stand up and lift my hands. I can't help it. I don't care where we're at, Jerry Rush. If you sing it out in the parking lot, you sing it at El Bandito's, you sing it afternoon, we'll go out and eat, you sing it, I'll stand up and have to praise the Lord, because ain't nobody ever loved me like Jesus loved me. Ain't nobody ever done for me what Jesus had done for me. Ain't nobody ever saved me. Hey, nobody can save me but Jesus this morning. I can respond to that stimuli. I just want you to know. I can still respond to on the sea of sin I was sinking. And he rescued me, Trista Maria. I can still be stimulated by that, and I'll respond every time. And when you get to that verse, you're about the no hope at that second verse, Rick Childers will always respond. Why? We ain't got over it yet. If you done got over it, maybe you didn't have it anyhow. I'm just asking. You alive? That ain't enough. Fully alive. Tell you what we are. Y'all have heard the term dead ringer? Do y'all know that's a real term? Years ago, when medicine wasn't much, they bury people and they weren't dead. So they, now this is true, you can look it up. So they would bury them and they would put a bell on their tombstone, on their little cross or rock or whatever it was, and they'd run a string down into the casket. And if the person woke up, they'd ring the bell and they would call it, "Hey, that's a dead ringer." And they would dig him back up and they would get him gone. That really used to happen. What we need is install bells on the church pew.
Amen, preacher.
So now and then you just pull the string and we realize, well, maybe they ain't dead. How about the command to rejoice? Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. See, we've seen the order. The way it ought to go. And then I forget what that other one was there a while ago. Flip me back there, Jeremy. If you can.
Reason two.
Huh?
Reason two.
Reason two. That'll work. Now, let's go to the next one. Get me started. Back. Command. If I believe 1 John talks about that's knowing the Lord because we obey His commandment. Is that a commandment? Well, are you? Are you rejoicing? Now, this morning, but I was sitting there and I had another message outlined and was going to get everything ready and it seemed like everything changed and I started on this and I looked up on Google images of rejoicing. That's what I typed in. Every picture had the same action. Every picture. Rejoice means to experience joy and gladness in a high degree. To be exhilarated with lively and pleasurable sensations. To exalt. All right?
Rejoicing, the act of expressing joy and glad. It's an act. It's a movement. It's something more. Yeah, I'm happy. It's more than that. Huh? Talking about rejoicing. We rejoice in sports. How do I know? Ain't nobody ever brought a megaphone to church to say, "Amen, preacher! Glory, sing, sing!" Ain't never done that. You say, "Well, what would you do if I done it?" I wouldn't say nothing for the first two or three times. They're all standing up. Now, I'm not talking about standing up around a pogo stick. Like they do in the world today. That ain't what I'm talking about. You look at some of these services, they jumping up and down like you're riding a pogo stick. That ain't what I'm talking about. But if I'm going to rejoice, I've been to ball games with you guys. I mean, I've even hollered at a ball game. When Shane, I used to watch, I never missed a basketball game when Shane played basketball. Never missed a basketball game. And when Midlandville played Meadow Bridge, I went and the cat had a ball bat in the car. Because I figured we're going to play Meadow Bridge, there's going to be a fight. Am I right, Shane? Yes or no? I mean, I was going, man, if I don't go for the game, I went back to old years. I didn't used to go to the games to watch the ball. I used to go to fight. And I didn't even holler. When you play Meadow Bridge, and if you're from Meadow Bridge watching this, I'm sorry, but y'all dirty at sports. Always have been. All right. And they would play rougher and get less fouls. Am I telling the truth or not, Shay? Come across playing basketball. I mean, I liked it, blood and guts in basketball. I liked it. And I'd holler, "All right, Shane, go." I didn't get up and clap, but I'd holler. Now, Cheryl, on the other hand. You don't want Cheryl and Jerry Givens watching a ball game together in your house. Because they'll tear your furniture up. They throw pillows, they throw hats, they throw pillows at the TV, they stomp, they holler, they squall, they scream. Now what they're doing is rejoicing. We okay? We rejoice in personal success. If a boss comes in tomorrow and gives you a $20,000 raise a year, will you be happy? Will you be really happy? I bet you say, "Hey, look what I got." That would be normal. If you weren't happy over that, then there would be something wrong with you. Right? Think about it. Y'all are on fixed income on Social Security. If they would tell you that they're going to double it, would you be happy? Personal success. Becky, praise the Lord the other night because you passed the test. Personal success. We've given personal success for people that excelled in sports and what they've done here and there in school. We still okay? I'm just trying to prove a point here. Then shouldn't we rejoice in the Lord? Shouldn't we rejoice in the Lord? Are you? I'm going to tell you why you ain't. Because you ain't fully alive. You're satisfied with a pulse. But you're not fully alive. Every pitcher that I looked up on Rejoice, they had their arms up. It didn't matter what they was rejoicing over. You look it up. I mean, I looked, when I just typed it up, I mean, I looked through hundreds of pictures this morning. And every one of them Even if they didn't have words wrote on the screen, the pictures was their hands. Even if they were by themselves on the top of a mountain, they had their arms up. I think that might be why the scripture says that we ought to lift up holy hands. What the Bible says. I mean, I got it off Google. I know we're more excited over that, but how about we rejoice with others? I come to rejoice with you. We okay this morning?
Yes.
Being alive ain't enough. We need to come fully alive. We okay?
Yes.
All right. How about this? Now we're about done. The ability to self-replicate or reproduce. If I'm fully alive, then I'm going to be replicating me. Let me stop there. Do we really want another you to shape your in? Really? You've asked me many times, how you doing, preacher? I said, if I was any better, it'd be twins. I ain't told you that many times. Huh? And people say, well, we don't want that. Right? You know why? Because you're looking at all my faults. You're looking at all my faults. Why don't you look at all my positive things? How about I self-replicate a born-again Christian? How about I self-replicate a student of the Word of God? How about I self-replicate a prayer warrior? How about I self-replicate a faithful church member? How about I self-replicate somebody that will praise the Lord? How about them things? How about I reproduce? How about I get some fruit? How about I get some people saved? Huh? I won't if I ain't fully alive. Let me ask you this. How many people did you win to the Lord last year? How many people did you win to the Lord last year? You've talked to thousands. How many did you win to the Lord last year? I don't care whether it's here on the altar or downstairs. I don't care where it's at. I'm asking you, how many people did you win to the Lord last year? Why didn't you? There's not a shortage of sinners. I'm going to tell you why. Because you're not fully alive. You're satisfied with a heartbeat. A pulse. But not a strong heartbeat. See, the meaning of alive was the ability to self-replicate or reproduce. And that was alive. That wasn't fully alive. That was just alive. John 15:16 says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Mark 16:15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. James 5:20 says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Luke 14:23 says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Not that they just have life, but they have life more abundant, being fully alive. That's what it's saying. In large quantities, plentifully, extremely, exuberantly. Refers to the state or condition of an organism, object, or system that exhibits signs of life such as respiration, growth, movement, responsiveness to stimuli, and the ability to self-replicate or reproduce. Coming fully alive in 2025. Cheryl, go to the piano. What do you want to do? What do you want to do?
I'm alive.
How about fully alive?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? The invitation is you do, you're going to, come on. Come on, let's sing.